Ghosts are everywhere.
Ciao.
Ciao a tutti.
Ciao a tutti.
Come stai?
Come stai? I want to say hola, but that's not
hola.
It. That's simply not it.
It's not the same language. It's a language.
No. Grazie.
Grazie mille.
Grazie certo. Mille. Certo. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. No, no, non arrivederci.
No, 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 no. We're just starting it off, actually. No, 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 no. Is there another way to say hello? How do you just say hello?
Oh, this is a good one. Ciao, ragazzi.
Ciao, ragazzi. It's but like, is ciao the only way you say hello? Isn't there like another hello?
It's chill. There's lots of different ways to say hello.
Like buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. That's what I'm looking for. I kept being like, there's another one. I know another one.
Yeah, that is the like classic one.
Buongiorno.
Ciao is just so much more how, like, that's more our relationship with
ciao.
Our audience, you know?
Yes. We're it's more weird. Chill with our audience. Mm-hmm. We're besties, so we say ciao.
Yeah, ciao ragazzi. And ciao tutti. Ciao amici, even.
Oh, amici.
Ciao amici.
Yeah, we're
sono
being
gli amici.
Italian
today. That's right. We're at Italians. Welcome
it's
to
us.
It, baby.
It's us. We're being mm-hmm. Italian. We're going to talk about Italy, and we're going to show off
that's
our
right.
Perfect Italian, because we are
yes.
fluent, and there uh-huh. will be no missteps, for sure, 100%.
You said that all in Italian just now, so that's
yeah,
why I
did. I
know that that's true.
It was
fact.
So good that no one could even tell it was Italian.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But we should say our names. I'm
yeah.
Carly.
I'm Cecilia. Cecilia.
Cecilia. I'll say my name how the Italians say it, how my relatives always say it. They're like, Carly.
Carly.
Because it doesn't, it's a hard name. It doesn't
It's
go
not
right.
easy for the Italians.
Carly.
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 Carly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
and Cecilia.
Cecilia.
And this is the ghost everywhere.
The ghost everywhere.
And they're everywhere.
They're everywhere. How do you say mm-hmm. ghosts? Fantome.
I think it's the same as French.
Okay.
I think it is.
I was just doing... Sometimes I just say a French word with an Italian accent. Or just...
and hope that it's right.
Just say, like, a Spanish word, just, like, slightly different.
Oh, it's fantasma. I knew it was
fantasma.
Close. Fantasma. Fantasma. Wait, what's everywhere? Oh, my
fantasma.
God, my tongue's on the tubes.
So
hold on. Solo mio.
Solo mio. Is it son or am I just saying something in a different language?
In my brain, I'm like, partout. That's not.
Partout.
Ovunque. That's why I can't think of it.
What?
Ovunque. Fantasma ovunque. Ghosts everywhere.
Oh my god.
This is the one I was thinking of. Dappertutto.
Dappertutto.
Yeah,
okay.
Like apertutto, like dappertutto. So, fantasma sono apertutto.
Apertutto.
Ghosts are everywhere.
Ghosts are everywhere. And that's what you're going to learn on this little podcast today. You're going to learn
mm-hmm.
how to speak Italian.
You're welcome and you love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've been gone for a little bit because we're
that's
bad.
Right. We had lots of really busy things in our lives. It
we're
was just,
busy.
Like, really difficult.
Carly had a whole
together.
Ass, like, workshop thing that she put
I
on.
I did.
I
that's
had
right.
Valentine's Day.
And you know, the busiest, notoriously busiest day in the flower times.
Yeah, don't forget, guys, I do flowers mm-hmm. currently.
That's
so
right.
I had to make so many flowers for so many people who were showing
exactly.
off how much money they have. For
yeah, they
lovers.
Said, we got cash money, baby,
we
to burn.
I got cash money to buy my girl some flowers or my man, you know.
That's right.
You can buy
my
your
pals.
Man flowers.
You can buy anyone flowers.
You can buy
flowers.
Yourself flowers. That's what Miley said.
Miley says you can buy yourself flowers. You can hold your own hand.
You can hold your
and
own
honestly,
hand.
And honestly, it's fine in the same.
I mean, it's not as good.
It's weird because it's, like, the wrong way around.
Holding your own hand, yeah. It's also,
like
my hands are very small, so it feels weird to hold my own hands.
Yeah, they're exactly the same size as
one
another.
Like, wow, this is different from holding someone else's hand. Like, I'm used to holding some thick-ass fingers.
Right, like a big man hand.
Big man hand. I've got my little hands. I'm like, this is weird.
Yeah, it feels like I'm praying, is what I don't really...
It does also feel like I'm praying. So,
it's giving me, like, great elementary school, you know, we're going to mass in the gym.
I do agree you can hold, you can buy yourself flowers. I think you can technically hold your own hand, but not sure. Also, it's much easier to buy yourself flowers if you have Miley Cyrus money.
Oh, yeah. She's someone who should be buying herself flowers. Yeah. That's, like... That's important that she does that.
I personally can buy myself flowers because I can buy them for wholesale prices.
Exactly. But you need to have yourself a flower hookup if you're like us. Yeah.
If I were to buy flowers, like a bouquet of like...
Yeah, like retail.
Retail from like a nice place. That shit's expensive.
That shit is so expensive because it's art and it's like it takes a lot of resources to make.
I put a lot of work into it. And exactly. You know what? The florists are fucking tired. You don't know this because you're not one. Y'all out there, unless you are, in which case you
unless
know.
You are, yeah. Florist solidarity on this podcast. Nothing but
exhausting. So that's what we were going through. Carly was doing some things for her show, which will be on eventually, and y'all hear all about it, so you can come watch it.
With Pal of the Pod, Patrick Teed. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing, and now it's still in development, so it'll still be a whole thing.
Yeah. But it took us away from this. Yeah. There's just so much going on. I knew all in that advance, to say. Like... The month of February, like, looking forward, I was like, okay, that's fucked. So,
it was so
y'all
bananas.
Are lucky you're getting
I was in Prince Edward Island for 3 days. Like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
February's been a wild time. I thought January was wild, but...
Carly will occasionally just, like, disappear to PEI, and I'll be like, what?
Yeah, I'll be like, how did you get there? I'll be like,
I'll be so confused.
They take you there.
I'll be seeing her B-reels, and I'll be like, this person doesn't live in Hamilton or Toronto.
Correct.
Are they visiting? No, there's pictures of lighthouses on the walls. I think she's in PEI. This is weird.
Yeah, it's just been the last two times I've been. I just am like, I'm just going to go, I guess. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why not? It's always like, I have a week or I have a weekend, and it's like.
I might as well.
I have friends, like, in shows or, like, willing to hang out with me and or both. And it's like, I'll just go. Might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly, like, how you and I visit, like, somewhere like Ottawa. It feels the same. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it's not a far plane ride.
Yeah.
And, like, if you fly with, like, a budget airline, it's really not expensive.
Especially
it's, like,
if you fly. Because do you fly, like, Hamilton to Charlottetown?
I try to in the regular season, but now in the off season, I had to go to Toronto, which was a headache. Yeah.
Because then, like, flying out of Hamilton is so blessed because it's just, like, this tiny little airport. You don't have to try and, like, run through fucking Pearson.
No,
and,
like... it's a breeze. Pearson was chaos. But honestly, it wasn't as bad as I expected. But but Hamilton is so chill. It's like the Charlottetown airport. It's so chill.
Yeah, is Pearson kind of chilling out? It was really bad over like the holidays.
Yeah, I mean it still has really long lines, and like when I was going, it was still like people were doing their like winter vacations, like their like spring break was kind of starting, even though it's February. But like you know, like pre-reading week or. Just people being like, we need to leave now, which is fair. And it was the coldest week we had weather-wise in Ontario. And it was sunny and warm in Prince Edward Island. They had less snow than we did. And I was like, telling all of my friends there, pals of the pod, Eden McFadden, Ben Hartley, just being like, you guys are lying about the weather.
Yeah.
Winter is fine, PEI. And they're like, no, Carly, you just came on the nicest days we've had. And I was like, I don't buy it. I'll believe it when I see it.
I went to Ottawa on like the coldest day that we've had. Yeah. It was -25 in Ottawa. We like getting to the train in Toronto being like, oh my god, it's so cold. And then we got to Ottawa and we were like, oh my god, I literally cannot be outside. So we just didn't. Yeah. We hopped in an Uber and then went
as you
to
should.
A house and we're like, we're not leaving. We're not going outside.
Yeah. Ottawa is for inside.
Ottawa is for inside. Ottawa, just don't do it.
Yeah, if you can avoid it. We did it so many times, so yeah. We've done it enough for all of us. Yeah. If you can avoid it, do it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm flying. I gotta fly out of Pearson on Tuesday, so.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. I'll get there early.
Yeah, get there early. 3 hours for sure. Yeah. Or four. Probably four for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't relaxing, but it was fine.
No. Yeah. No.
You just follow the steps and you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, travel.
This is what the people have come here to hear.
well, they want to know where we've been, and this is our explanations.
Speaking
it's our
of...
small apology, but also just our reasons.
It's us complaining, but as a way of explaining.
That's right. Come
complaining come to explain.
Ex-complaining.
That's when you complain about your ex.
I know. It's not what it is, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah. We're just complaining about life.
The old complain, explain.
The complain to explain. Speaking of complaining, we're going to talk about the Italians today.
Yeah, we love to complain. We love it. We're big on it. It's part of our culture.
Speaking of travel, we're going to travel.
No, but speaking of complain, that's good.
Speaking of complaining, we're going to Italy.
We're taking it to Italy. We go to the homeland, the mother country. We go there. Yeah. I'm not good at an Italian accent, even though I've had my whole life surrounded by Italians.
Right?
And I, like, kind of speak it. It's my minor from university. But it's, you wouldn't know. And that's my talent, is hiding it.
That's Carly writes it on her like acting CV. She just writes bad at Italian accents. I can do a bad Italian
under special
accent.
Skills. Very bad Italian accent.
Offensive Italian accent. And people are like, "Hell yeah, that's exactly what
Mario.
We want you to play Mario in the new Mario movie." I wish.
Right. Wouldn't it be amazing? I should be the new Mario.
We need just to throw. I don't believe in jail, but we need to throw Chris Pratt in jail.
In just special Chris Pratt jail.
Special Chris Pratt jail. I don't know. Just like house arrest, but like without any social media or the ability to be Mario.
Yeah. He doesn't deserve the ability to be Mario at this point.
No.
It's so
sad. Not even doing an offensive accent. Come on.
I know. Come on. Yippee! Yahoo!
Wahoo! Yeah. Okay, speaking of Italians, we're going to go to Rome, and we're going to talk about some Roman ghosts.
Roma, la città eterna! As I learned from the Lizzie McGuire movie when I was seven.
Yes, thank
seven.
You, Lizzie McGuire movie.
That's right. That's the only way I learned it. My family didn't tell me. They didn't tell me.
No, I didn't
just
know
from
that
Italy.
It was I didn't really know it was the Eternal City, and then it was a trivia question, and pal of the pod, and my trivia pal, Melanie, knew the answer, but I did not.
Yes.
I was like, well, yeah, that sounds
did
right.
Did she know it because of Lizzie McGuire? I would love it if that's how she knew it.
I think it was because she, like, went to Italy,
she's
like,
smart.
Last year.
Oh, she's cultured!
She was just there. So if there's any questions about, like, Italy or Greece, I'm like, Melanie,
Melanie, you should know.
You should know. You were just there. Remember?
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. La Città Eterna. That's where we're headed. Roma.
Roma.
We've done Italy before, but specifically we decided today we needed to do Italy and Roma.
Italy. Roma.
Yeah.
Because we haven't done Rome. We've done Italy.
Yeah, exactly. Exact. We've done. Exacto. Exacto.
Exacto. Exacta mundo.
Yep, 100%.
If I say something with an Italian accent, it's Italian.
Yeah, fair. Mm-hmm. I'll give it to you.
That's the rules. Okay, did you, in your story, do you have any Roman history that you wanted to talk about, or do you want me to just dive into what I'm talking about?
Dive into what you're talking about. I have very little Roman history, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
The history of Rome is, it's Rome, and it's been around forever. Yes. So it's too long. It's oldly settled because of the Romans. You heard of them?
You might have heard of the Empire, baby.
They're kind of a big deal. And it's called the Roman Empire because Rome was part of it. That's history.
And it was built in a day.
And it was built in a day.
That's history, baby.
But then it's lingered. It's stuck around for a while.
That's right. Just because it's been built in a day doesn't mean it was significant for only that day.
When in Rome.
That's right. All the time, really.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Roman holiday. Isn't it Rome wasn't built in a day?
Yeah, it's 100%. Okay. Rome wasn't built in a day. Yep. I took the other way. I said okay. This way instead.
Kylie is being ahistorical by saying that Rome was built in a day.
Yeah, in one day. It was really easy. It's like Lego.
Interesting theory there, Carly.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm an anthropologist.
So do you know about piazza?
Piazzi. Oh, as Italian. In the light in the piazza? Great piazzi? Musical.
We're going to get some piazzi. Piazze? I don't remember.
Piazze. I think piazze. It's lady. It has A on it.
It's a piazza. Piazze. Okay. So those guys are everywhere in Italia. It's a square. It's like a plaza in Spain. Mm-hmm. You got a piazza. You got a place. We speak French.
Right. Like Times Square. It's just
It's exactly like Times Square. So imagine
every piazza is Times Square.
Imagine Times Square, but dating back from 80 AD instead of 2000. When was Times Square built?
Specifically 2000. It was not before that. It was not after that.
No.
Okay, I can picture it. Picture the screens, instead of screens, it's all just like tablets with people
instead of screens,
pictures on it, painted.
There's like churches and like palaces and in the middle, instead of Spider-Man, there's the Pope.
Right.
And there's also like fountains and cobblestones.
Okay. I get it.
So it's not really like Times Square at all, except for it's busy and it's a square.
Right. Okay.
That's
the similarities than I expected. So
that's all to explain the concept of a piazza, which was not necessary.
Great. They probably really already knew what that was. Okay. But so, it's important that we explain it.
We are specifically going to Piazza Navona, which is a classic Roman piazza. It was once the site of the stadium of Domitian. I like Domitian. Sure. Which was built way back in 80 AD.
Dang.
After the Roman Empire fell, the stadium fell into disrepair and was disassembled and used for building materials. So it was a stadium, and it had, like, a long athletics field in the stadium. So that long athletics field was sort of kept as an open space, and then that became the piazza.
Okay.
So it's a long...
It like, is long. Kinda,
it's a long rectangle.
Yeah, it's not a square. It's like it's a big a space, but it is long. You're right. Yeah.
So it's like Times Square. It's long.
It's long. It is like Times Square. It's just not a triangle. But it is not a triangle. Times Square is long.
Yeah, it's long. Which, like, a lot of, like, piazzas or plazas or whatever, the bigger ones tend to be kind of long instead of actually square.
Totally.
It contains a lot of examples of Baroque Roman architecture and art. A lot of what exists in the square right now was built when Pope Innocent V was Pope. So between 1644 and 1655, and we're going to talk about him because he's an important guy.
Hell yeah.
But his family palace, the Palazzo Pamphili, it faces into the piazza. There are three ornate fountains in the piazza. There's the Fontana dei Quattro Fiumi, the Fountain of the Four Rivers, built in 1655, which has a tall stone obelisk on top of it. And then there's also the Fontana del Moro and the Fontana del Nettuno.
Nice.
One of which was built in 1575 and the other was built in 1878. So that one's new.
That's new as heck. That's super new. Comparatively, that's freaking new as heck.
I wrote that the piazza is not a popular tourist destination. That's not fair. Sure why I wrote not in there, because it is a popular tourist destination.
I mean, it's not like it's up there like the Trevi Fountain or the Colosseum, but it is on the list.
It's not the main one, but it is. Mm-hmm. It's like in like central Rome.
Yeah.
It has a lot of cafes, terraces, street performers. At Christmas time, it has a big Christmas market. So it's a fun place to visit.
Cute. So it is cute. I can vouch for that.
Carly went there.
I did go there, and it was cute. And did I was like, look at this.
Did you see a ghost?
I sure didn't.
Okay.
I sure didn't. So but I went back in, like, 2015, I want to say. So.
Okay.
I wasn't maybe, like, hot on the trail.
Okay.
I was just, like, in Italy wanting to see my grandparents' hometowns.
I will say that this ghost would have been there in 2015 because she's not a new ghost.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to talk about two ghosts because there were two that I found that live kind of in the piazza. But I'm only going to talk about one because her story ended up being long and a lot goes on.
Drama.
So she is the Pimpaccia.
Okay.
Which I will explain later what that means. But her real name is Olimpia Maidalchini. So she was born way back in 1591 in Viterbo. Don't know where that is. It's in Italy.
Sounds
she was
like
born to a noble but only moderately wealthy family.
Oh,
so
they're the low rich, the poor rich.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not super rich. So her father, in order to conserve the property to give to his oldest son, so he could have like all of the riches.
Right.
He wanted all of his daughters to join the church so that he wouldn't have to, like, pay dowries off for all his girls.
He's a smart guy. He sounds annoying, but Olimpia
said, nah, man. And in 1608, when she was just 16, she married. So she was being rebellious.
Yeah, she did.
And she married 20-year-old Paolo Nini, who is a member of a wealthy family in Viterbo.
Oh, give it to him.
So he died. I didn't write down how he died. I just said she married again.
I didn't even get to make my Liz McGuire joke yet. I just wanted to say sing to me, Paolo.
Paolo didn't last long enough to sing to you. I'm sorry.
Dang it. Okay.
Paolo isn't like a main character in this, because he dies really young. I think by the time like she's like 20, he's out of the picture.
Oh dang, yeah.
Gonzo. He doesn't last very long. He's probably sick or something. It's always funny when writing about things like this, because for this one, there were like a few different websites that I was reading from and Wikipedia. So like some of the websites would be like, she married an old man and who died early, and then another website would say he was 20 and like just a little bit older than her. And I'm like, okay, interesting.
An old man. He's
an
20.
Old man.
Decrepit.
Of 20 years old. So I believe based on more substantiated claims that he was 20.
That's probably
he was
fair.
Not an old man who died. Which
right.
I think they're trying to paint her as like a gold digger by being like,
sure,
she married this old ass rich man. Right. No, she married a young rich man and he died.
Okay,
probably leaving her a lot of money.
Good for her, get it, girl.
This time she marries a much older man, Pampilio Pampili.
Not as good. And also the Italians love to double name their children, and I don't understand it. My mom is double named and her cousin's double named, so I know it well. And it's very silly, but it's very good.
They're like, what if our last name's Pampili? What if we name our child Pampilio?
The only Italian tradition that's almost worse than this is naming like your kids the numbers they're born as, like if your
oh my god yeah
is Primo, like they do that. It's so
like, well, he's the first one we got to name.
The first one, his name's Primo.
What if you met someone and their name was First?
I would be like, why do your parents hate you?
It's like, I don't know, it doesn't sound as good in English, most of these things. When people are like, oh, his name is Primo, it means first. You're like, yeah, but Primo sounds good as a name.
Yeah, Primo is like, it's better than first, but it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you're like, well, her name's Sunday because she was born on a Sunday. You're like, okay, yeah, that's kind of cute.
Well, like, my Nana's name, Anna, the only reason she was named Anna is because she was born on the Feast of St. Anne.
That's a big, which is also big, classic. Big Catholic vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Her mom said, ah, this is the saint's day. Here she goes. Like,
well, I guess it's the St. Anna's day, so she can be Anna.
Yep.
All right, Pompilio.
Pompilio, great name.
He was a member of the wealthy and powerful Pompili family who were deeply entrenched in the Catholic Church and in Roman and Italian nobility. And his brother, his younger brother, was Cardinal Giambattista Pompili, who would later become Pope Innocent V.
Okay, they're connected earlier. As fuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But before he became the Pope, he became the nuncio, papal ambassador to the Kingdom of Naples. And Olympia and her husband went along with him to Naples. So I guess, like, because he's so powerful in the Catholic Church, his older brother's just like, all right, I guess I'll go with you to Naples.
And he's like, it's chill, might as well.
You know what? It's royalty. It's the Catholic Church. It's I'm not questioning it. I'm just well, I guess that's what they're doing. He
probably just wanted a good slice of pizza.
He's like, go to Napoli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was like, I need to get some of that sweet za. Get me to Naples, baby.
So they have a son a few years after they get married, Camillo.
Cute.
As well as two daughters, but since Camillo is a man, he's the one that is important to the story. Even though our ghost is a woman and she's important, but her daughters don't get like a starring role,
right? They're just
They're just there. When the family returns home to Rome, they shared the family palace in Piazza Navona, which is there. You can see it. It's big and it's fancy. Olympia's husband dies in 1639 because he was actually old. And in 1644, Cardinal Pompili became the Pope. And since the Pope always changes their name when they become the Pope, he's Pope Innocent V.
I can't believe there was four more before him.
I know. There's That's what gets innocence. Me. There's a lot of innocence. Imagine picking that as your name. You're like, well, I am Pope Innocent.
Because
I'm so innocent.
Because I'm baby. I'm baby Pope.
It's giving Pope baby.
Yeah, instead of like, what was that TV show with the hot Pope? It's giving baby Pope.
The young Pope.
Yeah, instead of giving young Pope, it's giving youngest Pope.
It's giving Pope baby.
Pope baby the fourth.
Pope baby the fifth.
Oh, fifth.
So he becomes the Pope. So, Carly, I have a fun fact for you.
I love
Do
that.
You know about nepotism?
I have heard about Nepo babies. Yes. So, because I'm on the internet.
Yeah. So Nepo babies are big right now. And I have a fun fact for you about the word nepotism. Cool. Because Pope Innocent is super into nepotism, and the word nepotism actually comes from the practice of like popes like moving their family up in the ranks and cardinals moving up super fast because they're a relative of the Pope.
Is the Pope. I love that.
So it's nepotism because I think something about nephew, because we're going to talk about cardinal nephews. But that's where nepotism comes from. It's a church thing.
It's from the Pope, baby. Oh, everything's a church thing. Mm-hmm. You can't have nice things. Not even Nepo babies.
Not even Nepo babies.
Without it being related to the Pope.
So it's actually, everything is related to the Catholic Church, including nepotism.
That's really funny.
Because the there was this thing, I don't know if it's this thing anymore, but it's the cardinal nephew, which would be like a high up member of the Pope's like crew.
His entourage.
His entourage. I went to Catholic school. I don't remember how any of this works.
The Pope's crew is good, though.
But
they're dropping an album anytime soon? I hope so.
Yeah, the Pope's crew would have a cardinal nephew, which would be, like, literal nepotism. It would just be a member of his family. So he made Camillo.
Okay.
Our girl's son. Right. The cardinal nephew. So he, like, rose up in the ranks super fast. He becomes super powerful kind of all of a sudden.
Dang.
But he wanted to get married, and you can't do that if you're the cardinal nephew. Because you can't do that.
You're in the church.
If you're a church boy, you can't get married.
That's right.
So then Olympia's nephew became the next cardinal nephew. So it was like, it's kind of her putting these high-ranking people in place. But he was incompetent, and then he was replaced by Olympia's cousin, another Camillo. So all of these cardinal nephews were, like, powerful, and all of them happened to be connected to Olympia, so it gave her a great deal of power. So she couldn't really have official influence. Like, she couldn't have a position other than the position of, like, wife of powerful guy.
Yeah, but she's a lady, and the church is full of men.
Yeah, but she was really close to the Pope as his, like, sister-in-law, and she was his trusted advisor, and she was able to kind of put these family members into power and kind of be in the ear of the Pope.
Wow, she was really out here making chess moves. And never
she was. Wow. Like, it's Rome, it's the 1600s. She's, like, she's up there. She's doing a real, she's playing the Game of Thrones.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. In 1645, the Venetian ambassador reported, "She is a lady of great prudence and worth. She understands the position she holds as sister-in-law to the Pope. She enjoys the esteem and affection of His Holiness and has great influence with him." Pope Innocent, as monarch of the Papal States, was able to bestow royal titles because... The Pope was basically a king back then.
The Pope was fully the king. The Pope said, "I'm the head of the church and also the state, yo."
Basically. So he has these papal states. And in 1645, he gave Olympia the title of Princess of San Martino. So he kind of gave her a little enclave, San Martino al Cimino, which was her own personal little principality. So she does have...
That's nice.
Kind of more of a title, even though that's more of like a...
Like a ceremonial title?
It doesn't actually give her any power. Yeah. It's still like she can list it off. She'll be like, yes, I am Olympia, Princess of San Martino. Like, she can still say she's a princess.
Yeah, it's more than nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a bunch of legends and shit.
Love that.
About the rest of her life. Since there are many historians who wanted her to look bad, either because they're anti-Catholic, they're misogynist, et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes, some of this, I don't know, take with a grain of salt.
Cool.
So the anti-Catholic publicist, Gregorio Leti, wrote about her that during the last year of the Pope's life, Olympia Maidalchini scarcely ever left his side, completely controlling access to the Pope and to the money she could make and power she could wield through him. In the last weeks of his life, it was said, she would lock him in his room once a week while she removed money and other valuables from the papal palace to her own palace. Even with his death, she did not flee the inevitable retribution, believing that she could produce a friendly result in the enclave through the exercises of influence and money. The dead Pope she left to his own fate, not even providing him a proper coffin for his lying in state.
She's so dramatic!
These are all rumors, so it's hard to say what is true. So she was pretty hated towards the end of the Pope's life because she is this woman in power. And she's kind of pulling the strings and definitely doing things to benefit herself.
As she should, but also that makes a woman hated, and that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. So as the Pope was dying, rumors say that she locked him alone in his chamber for like the last 3 days of his life. And oh, wow. She like would go to her palace in fear that he would die and that her palace would be sacked and burned. So she wanted to kind of like guard it. Right. It said that on the morning of the 27th, she was barred access to Innocent the Fifth's chamber, which she was like pretty pissed about because she wanted to steal. Apparently there were two chests full of gold that were hidden under his bed and she wanted to like go in and nab them.
Ah, that's really good.
Right after Innocent's body was removed on December 29th, she entered the chamber, removed the chests, and then ran to her palace to lock herself in fear of what angry mobs would do to her. Mm. It's also said that she let him stay unburied for 3 days and to, like, bury him very simply, claiming that she was just a poor widow that couldn't arrange a burial, which was not true.
That's absolutely not true.
She's rich.
I love that for her, though. I'm a poor woman.
I'm just a poor woman. So it's hard to say like what is true and what is blown out of proportion. Right. Some historians say that the Pope was entirely under her control. The Catholic Encyclopedia refers to her as the great blemish on the pontificate of the blameless Innocent the Fifth. Who says that he was a lover of justice and that, like, she's his only, like, flaw.
Wow, I'm obsessed.
She's sometimes referred to as the Papessa, or the Lady Pope.
That's right.
Some sources say that she was maybe his lover, which people aren't really sure about. She was probably just, like, piling up.
Probably just a lady. Yeah.
Some say that she poisoned cardinals so that there would be, like, vacancies either to put her family members in those positions or to do some simony, which I didn't know was a thing, which is the practice that was illegal at the time of just, like, selling off positions in the church so people could just buy
that's right.
high-ranking positions.
I love that.
The Romans, for the most part, at the time, hated her and described her as a witch, probably because she was so, you know, rich and powerful.
She's a woman with some power. She's a witch.
Whispering in the Pope's ear. So her nickname was the Pimpaccia, which means basically a woman full of sins.
Yes! Mm-hmm. I love that for her. Uh-huh. I love it. That's great.
So it is said that after Pope Innocent's death, she filled her carriage up with valuables, including the alleged crates of gold.
Yeah, she did, baby. And take that gold, fled, honey.
And that she fled to San Martino al Cimino, never to return to the Piazza Navona. Wow. Apparently, the new pope exiled her to her little area, her little palace.
As he would. He'd have to.
Yeah. There's some stories that also say that she died of the plague, like, right after she was put there. Because it's the 1600s, and, you know, that happens.
Yeah. It's that time of year, baby.
So, ghostliness. So, if you're in the Piazza Navona, it is said that her ghost can be spotted, dressed in black mourning clothes, and carrying crates full of gold. Just kind of carrying them around or bringing them to a black carriage pulled by black horses. Some have also spotted her carriage racing across the Ponte Sisto before disappearing into the night. Wow. So if you're looking out, if you see a lady carrying around crates of gold, it might be our gal, the Pimpaccia.
It's her ghostliness.
Yeah, it's her ghostliness. That's so good.
Her ghostliness.
Her royal holy highness.
Instead of his holiness, it's her ghost.
Her holiness, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so she was a whole lady right there.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's so amazing. I've heard of, like, there's this other story I've heard of, like, a woman pope, mm-hmm. but it's more like a myth. Like, I think people don't really, because she's not really on any, like, real red, like, they have, like, mm-hmm. records of all the popes. Uh-huh. She's not on the official records. Uh-huh. But it was, like, it's this legend of this woman who was a pope and then was found out, and then they were like, no. But I haven't heard of this lady pope. Mm-hmm. And she's also basically the pope, so I love that.
She's basically the pope. She was like a little puppet master for the pope.
Apparently. I'm all about the idea of lady popes. I just want to know all the lady popes that have been close enough to the pontiff to really, you know, be the lady pope, you know?
Because when I was looking her up, it was also saying about, like, the when I looked up, when it was saying things about the papessa, it was talking about another Papessa Giovanna, which was the other lady pope. This is an Italian.
Italian.
Pope Joan.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm. That's the one I know about.
Yeah, so it's apparently probably fictional, but...
Yeah, it's a really cool story. Yeah. I kind of want to make a movie of Pope Joan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But maybe now knowing the story, we could combine them. That could be cool. No one take this idea.
It's no. Important. Don't take it. Don't steal Don't Pope Joan. It.
Don't steal Pope Joan or... this lady, Piazza Navona, rich coffin bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take it.
Don't steal.
Don't you dare.
Her.
No, she's our girl. Mm-hmm. We love the drama. We love the drama of it all. I mean, when the papal states are involved, the Vatican's involved, it's always going to be drama.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Vatican, I started on a story that I had to put aside because I was like, this is too much.
Oh my god.
So I will revisit it another day. Uh-huh. As I was unpacking it, I was like, oh my god, there's too much here. I cannot do this for a classic two-story episode.
You need to set it aside. However, for a single story.
It was there's so much going on. I needed to do more research and save it because I was like, there's too much here. And also too much for me to sift through in the time I had given myself. But this is a different one that also kind of has to do with the Pope in the Vatican, kind of.
All right, so, Mr. Popey.
Roma! We know it. We love
Roma.
It. Roma. It's an ancient city and the capital of Italy. And it finds itself, this is important, on the banks of the Tiber River. And to traverse these waters, there are several bridges that have spanned the expanse through time. One of which is known today as the Ponte Sant'Angelo. The St. Angelo Bridge.
Sant'Angelo.
Ponte Sant'Angelo. It was a Roman bridge first completed in 134 AD by Roman Emperor Hadrian. And it was then at that time called the Alien Bridge. Not spelt like extraterrestrial, spelt like A-E-L-I-A-N, like how they do Caesar, you know? The Alien Bridge. It was eventually rebuilt a few times, and it has been a bridge since the ruin of Nero's bridge that pilgrims have used to reach St. Peter's Basilica, aka the Vatican. The Vatican.
Are you telling me that this bridge was rebuilt and it didn't stick around since, what did you say, 80 AD?
No, 134 AD. I know, it's shocking. AD. It's shocking.
It's not the same bridge.
I know. You would think that it would hold up all the way, but unfortunately, no. Not even at all. But in the 6th century, it was given its current name by Pope Gregory I. Which, LOL, Pope Greg, great. Mm. It's like how we have Pope Frank right now. I love it.
Pope Greg.
Popes with regular guy names, so funny.
Greg.
Greggy! Gregory!
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Gregoroo. It's funny. That's really funny. And he named it along with the nearby castle, which is what it's named for.
Sant'Angelo?
Yeah, it's the Pope's castle, like the really big one.
Right.
It's like fortified. It's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Which we didn't get into today because it's a whole other thing. But, and that's not even the story I was getting into, but it is still a whole other thing. The bridge was given the name Sant'Angelo, according to legend, though, because an angel appeared on the castle's roof to announce the end of the plague. Speaking of the plague, angel showed up and was like, "What up? Plague's none." And they said, okay, this is the Castle of the Angels, and that's the Angel Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So the bridge is faced with travertine marble. classic Italian.
Classic. And
they love marble. We love marble. It's a big thing. My mom hates it. She thinks it's too Italian.
Marble. Yeah, marble. That's funny.
Yeah. And it spans the Tiber, like I said. And it has five arches, three of which, Cecilia, are Roman. So some of them are from the original bridge.
All right.
And today it's solely a pedestrian bridge, but those who traverse it might not all appear as expected.
Ooh, wow.
Because I'm talking about ghosts, baby. I'm talking about ghosts. That's it. And particularly I'm talking about the possible specter of Beatrice Cenci.
Oh, I was like gonna do this one, and then
and I said, don't do that one.
I was like reading about it, and then it said something about the Ponte Sant'Angelo, and I was like, fuck.
Right. You're like, shit.
If anyone wants to like hear a little bit more about Beatrice after you hear Carly talk about it, there's a really good episode of Noble Blood about her that I listened to recently. That's a really good podcast if you like history and like some nonsense from royal shit,
which we do love,
which we do
big time. And Celia, since you know it, if there's anything I miss or don't cover, feel free to jump in, baby.
It's dramatic.
It's very dramatic. It's really a lot. So Beatrice was born in 1577, the daughter of Francesco Cenci. And she was only seven when her mother, Ursilia Santa Croce, died. Ursilia Santa Croce.
Good.
Yeah. She lived at Palazzo Cenci, name for them, at the edge of the Jewish ghetto area in central Rome, which is a cool area. If anyone wants to go there, it's a good time. I had delicious gelato when I was there, and I was very pleased. I was best pleased. I love it here in the Jewish part. Her father was an aristocrat, and that took everything in me not to say aristocrat. And they lived in a mansion built over the ruins of a previous medieval castle, because Rome,
of course.
You know.
So I think I knew the word aristocrat before I knew the word aristocrat. You know, when you're really young and you don't know that something's a pun, you're just like, ah, yes, these are the aristocrats. And then you learn the word aristocrat later and you're like, that's why they called that.
What's that about? Oh. Or like you see something and you don't know it's a reference to something else. And then you grow up a little bit and then you see the reference that it's referencing and you're like, oh. That's what that joke is. It's not just funny. It has something to it.
The aristocrats.
Yeah. It's the aristocrats. They'll always be that. So every time I say that word, I have to concentrate.
Yeah.
Or else aristocrat will come out. I mean, you should just lean into it.
Just lean into it. Just always say aristocrat. They were aristocrats. And then everyone will be like, interesting. They were cats.
And then I'll continue, and then I'll sing, everybody wants to be a cat. Yeah. I think that's great. So these aristocrats lived over the ruins of a previous medieval castle. Not important, I just thought I would mention it, because Rome is like a lasagna. This is what they tell you when you go there for some reason, which is really funny. Because they're like, Rome just kept building on top of each other.
It's like an ogre.
It is like an onion. It has layers. So Beatrice lived there in those onion layers with her father and his second wife, Lucrezia Petroni, as well as her older brother, Giacomo. The family wasn't rich. They were rich. Okay? Because they also had a castle in Petrella Salta, a small village just north of Rome. And, like, the piazza's named for them. Like, they're big money.
They're big money. Yeah. They're old money.
They're not like your girl. Yeah, they have, like, the big money, you know?
No.
Which, fun fact, is equally as far away, this village is, fun fact, equally as far away from Rome as it is from my Nana's hometown.
Oh.
I Googled it. It's equidistant. So.
Wow. It's what everyone was wondering.
Yeah, everyone was wondering that. I was desperate to know, so I had to look it up. Yeah. And it's exactly about halfway.
Okay.
about an hour and a half from each driving today. Yeah. So it's the real country in those days, you know? Mm-hmm. So they got a lot of money, but like a lot of times with lots of money, things are not good.
They're not so happy.
Things are bad. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. Just a warning. Here we go. Francesco's a really bad guy.
Trigger warning.
Trigger warning for abuse and sexual abuse.
Yes.
If you're not in the mood, we understand. Uh-huh. Leave now. You've been warned.
Yeah.
And so Francesco's a really bad guy. And he abused his children and his wife, and he sexually assaulted Beatrice. Mm-hmm. And the thing about this, too, is that people knew. Like, they were that kind of family. They were such a, mm-hmm. you know, high-profile family that people knew. Also because Francesco, the Count, was jailed and fined for other crimes, but due to his noble status, was freed early. Because that's what happens when you're rich and you do bad things. You don't see the consequences. Exactly. And Beatrice actually, like, this is really brave. She alerted the authorities to the abuse. Mm-hmm. Like, fully was like, hello, polizia, polizia. And they said, no. Like, no action was taken.
Oh, that's too bad.
They said, dear, dear, what a bummer for you.
That really stinks.
Yeah. What a bad time for you. Everybody just knew. Like, that's also what's awful. It's like, everyone knew. Francesco found out that his daughter had reported him, and he exiled her and his wife to the country castle at La Petrella del Salto. And there, the women devised a plan to get rid of, take care of, swim with the fishes, Francesco.
Right. He fucked up. He was like, these ladies are a problem. I'm going to go send them away together where they can plot.
He's like, oh, the people that I hurt the most in the world, I'll send them away from me so that they can, you know, be smart and, like, figure a way out of this whole thing together and plot. It's a team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like, this man's got to go. Mm-hmm. Fairly so. And so they also enlisted the help of Giacomo, Beatrice's brother, as well as possibly her half-brother Bernardo, but also maybe the blacksmith and her secret lover, the castle keeper, to get the deed done. Because, like everything, these legends kind of get away, and, like, there's possible multiple players.
Yeah.
Also, maybe or maybe not, she was lover to the secret castle keeper. Probably not, but also maybe, but, you know, stories.
Not the regular castle keeper.
No, she was secret lover to the regular castle keeper. Yeah. I should be more clear. Mm-hmm. Because again, they live in a castle. They have a castle keeper.
Have a castle keeper.
Yeah. I mean, what? You're going to have no one keep your castle? You need it.
Yeah, you got to have someone.
It's all the rage. Yeah. It's the 1500s. It's all the rage.
Yeah. Yeah. You know when you're looking for jobs? I just keep finding positions for castle keepers on LinkedIn.
I know, and I'm really not qualified.
I know. I can't.
They make you stand for hours.
Yeah. I mean, I'm qualified for that.
You're qualified for that, but I'm not the best keeper either.
No, I'm not qualified for, you know, the upkeep. I can't do, like, masonry.
Right. Oh, yeah, I can't. Actually, I could. Well, I could learn that. But I'm a giver, not a keeper. So I could probably give the castle away by accident.
I am currently not qualified for that job. I can maybe learn, but...
Right. But it is outside of the realm of your qualification. So if any of you are looking for a castle keeper, it's neither Cecilia nor I.
No.
Apologies in advance.
If any of you are looking for a secret lover, Carly is available.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. We can talk. We'll talk later. In 1598, during one of Francesco's visits to the castle, because he exiled them there, but they're still his family, so he'd visit them.
Yeah.
I guess. It's also
his property, he wants to go be an asshole over there.
Probably, yeah. So he'd visit the castle sometimes, and during one of those visits, they drugged him, which may or may not have worked, and apparently stabbed him with a long-ass nail through his head and or throat, and or bludgeoned him before throwing him off a balcony to his death like an accident.
They really want to make sure that the job gets done.
Yeah, I would do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the part that gets me is they were like, oh, let's make it look like an accident.
Yeah, make it look like an accident. Just even though we just like drove a nail through his head. That happened as he was falling.
Oh, did it? That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just love the idea though of like spinning a big wheel and landing on, oh, I guess we'll do this. Okay, now your turn. And then you spin it, you know, like Price is Right style.
Mm-hmm.
And choosing how to murder your abuser in the 1500s. That's what I like to picture that they did.
Yeah. You know what? Good for them.
And good for them. We love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't love it, but we love justice, I guess, which is true.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he was bad. The papal authorities only really became suspicious of this whole thing when a servant came forward saying Beatrice had asked them to clean some bloody sheets because she had been menstruating. she's like... that's my period. Over the sheets.
It's a real bad one.
It's a real bad one this month. The moon is thick. It's
really bad. He's a count?
Yeah, he's a count.
Okay.
I think.
I was gonna do like a goodbye earl.
Oh.
But that's I don't good. Think he's an earl.
No. It's Francesco. Goodbye, Francesco.
Yeah, but like, you know, there's like earls and counts. And dukes and shit. I don't think he's an earl.
Yeah, he's not. He's a count. That would have been funny though. Well, we can all sadly mourn the loss of that joke.
It's the thought that counts.
It is the thought.
It's the thought that counts because he's a count. Get it?
There you go. There it is. Hey-o. So that happened. Beatrice was like, "Oops, I bled everywhere." But then. Beatrice's castle lover, under the threat of torture, confessed to the whole thing.
No, he was like, not the castle lover.
We cooked up a scheme. Oopsie doopsie. And then he ran away, only for a family friend to order his killing to avoid there being any risk. Damn. And also the blacksmith was tortured nearly to death. And then he confessed and then retracted his confession. And then he died soon after. It was like a bloodbath. It's not good.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's not good at all. It's really not good. And Beatrice only confessed under torture also.
Great.
What?
Torture.
You know what? It's almost like it's really awful and evil.
And also getting confessions under torture. Maybe not very nice and also not very reliable. So I'm going to say don't do it.
Yeah, almost like coercion. Is bad.
Hot take. Torture. In general. Not good.
Yeah, we should not do that.
No.
Is my hot take.
I'm not into it.
Mm-mm. Big thumbs down from us on torture. Mm-hmm. In case you weren't sure, now it's clear.
Yeah, now you
we
know.
We do not endorse.
Just in case you weren't sure. This podcast is not sponsored by torture.
100% not. Mm-hmm. No proceeds are coming from that to us.
No.
So Beatrice also confessed under torture, and the Cenci family were found guilty and sentenced to death for some reason.
Yeah.
The public, rightly so, were outraged because decision was made by the tribunal, and they protested vehemently, but at this time it was Pope Clement, who is the Pope, also hilarious name,
Pope Clement the Eighth. But he didn't recommend clemency.
Exactly. That's why it's really funny.
Yeah.
And also very bad. Yeah. He showed no mercy and he charged forward with their public executions.
Yay.
This man was like, not only am I the Pope, you know, the man from God, chosen by God, gonna kill these people, I'm gonna do it in public because I feel like it.
He says, Jod. God has said.
He said Jod has said.
Jod?
Maybe he was with Jod all along.
That's how you say it in Italian. He says Jod has proclaimed. Carly was taking a sip of water on that one.
It was like everything in me to hold that in my mouth. Jod is Italian for God. There's no J in Italian. That's why it's so funny.
OD.
Okay. Sure, like Giacomo. Okay.
Yeah, like Giacomo. It's John.
Okay, great. John. Great. Love it. Mm. Yeah, so John said, kill them in public. And he said, all right, I'm the Pope.
Yeah, he said, no clemency for you.
Correct. It's me, Clement. No clemency.
It's me, Clement. I'm not a big fan of clemency, actually.
Mm-hmm. He also famously hated Clementines. On September 11th, 1599, at dawn, I knew you were going to do that, at dawn, the family was taken to Ponte San Angelo to the scaffold. Along the way, Giacomo was further tortured with hot pincers, as if this isn't, you know, already enough.
Giacomo is the brother?
Is the brother, yeah. Is Beatrice's brother.
Yeah.
And Lucrezia, who's her stepmother, had fainted prior to their arrival to the scaffold, and she was just beheaded.
Damn.
Awful.
Yeah.
And then Giacomo was executed by a mallet blow to the head and was then quartered. His limbs then hung from the scaffold for the public to see.
Damn.
Because the Pope don't give a shit, baby. Mm-mm, it's bad. And then Beatrice comes last, and she meets her the same fate as her stepmother, and she was also beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
The only member, and this really gets me, the only member of the family to be spared was 12-year-old Bernardo, mm-hmm. who was forced to watch his family be murdered by the state.
Yeah, that's fucked.
That's so fucked.
Bernardo.
Poor Bernardo! Mm-hmm. And then he was afterwards condemned to a life as a galley slave, but he only kind of did that for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But the family's wealth was acquired by the Pope. The Pope said,
of course, yeah.
This is for me.
This works out great for the Pope. He's like, it works out
so good.
This is a good opportunity for me to take so much money.
Yeah. He said, it's me, the Pope. Mm-hmm. I'm rolling up to take your money.
Yeah.
What else is new?
For Jod.
It's important for Jod that he has the money. Hidden under his bed, probably, also. So Beatrice is buried in the church of San Pietro in Montorio, though her grave is unmarked. Apparently it's marking having been allegedly destroyed by French troops in 1798. Hmm. And apparently the troops smashed the coffins in the church to steal their lead. And they scattered remains everywhere. And witnesses even claimed a soldier played with her skull specifically, tossing it around like a ball, which is awful. Maybe because of this,
Hamlet move.
It's Hamlet vibes all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Very, alas, poor York, but not lamenting. Just like, no. Go long, you know? Just like, if Hamlet was a footballer.
Here's a fun skull to play with.
Yeah, if Hamlet was a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not good. And maybe because of this treatment, or generally her horrible and unjust death.
Yeah, and kind of shitty life.
And shitty life, just like things, like just the general badness.
A lot of trauma.
A lot of just drama also.
Mm-hmm.
Every year on the night before the anniversary of her death,
mm-hmm.
Beatrice can be seen walking the Ponte San Angelo carrying her severed head.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's also seen as this interesting symbol of resistance against the aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of this like badass, eventually seen by the Roman people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a famous portrait of her by Rennie, and it hangs in Ruth Elm's apartment in Mulholland Drive in the movie Mulholland Drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've all definitely seen it if we've seen that.
But
also it's like a portrait that you've kind of just seen in general. Like when I saw it, I was like, oh, I've seen this portrait before.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. And there's also this 1990s Canadian chamber opera called Beatrice Chansey about it, basically. But they take her story and place it in Nova Scotia.
Oh, interesting.
It's really interesting. So yeah, when I was reading, I was like, I want to write a play about this lady. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, there's already a Canadian chamber opera from the 90s.
So like, someone beat you to it.
I know. I haven't done too much digging on it, but I would be really interested to see if I can find any music from it. But she is this kind of like mythic folk hero. And also just like a general bummer of a life. And that, my friends, is Beatrice Cenci, who haunts the Ponte San Angelo in Rome.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Did you see her portrait?
Yeah. We'll
post it on the Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably seen it before, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's like one of those classic portraits that you just like definitely have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't very descriptive, but she's just like a lady, you know?
She's just a lady with a very unfortunate life and death.
She's a lady with an incredibly unfortunate life. Yeah. A cool ghost.
Cool ghost. Creepy ghost. We got some bridge ghosts in this one.
Yeah, we love bridges. It's high time bridges came back.
If you want to say one lady carrying a bunch of gold and another lady carrying her severed head, Rome, the place to go.
Rome is the land of lady ghosts, baby.
Hell yeah.
Lady ghosts affected by the Pope.
affected lady by the ghosts Pope in different ways.
Highly affected by the Pope. Yeah.
Because when in Rome.
That's right. That's what they say. When in Rome.
Gotta get involved with some
Do popes, as the Romans do. Be near the Pope, I guess.
Be near the Pope. Do you got anything going on that you want to tell the people about?
Have you watched
anything interesting?
I have watched some interesting things that kind of tie in a little bit to Italy.
Oh.
I recently watched the movie from the 90s with, like, Heath Ledger, Casanova. Have you ever watched it?
Okay, no.
It's wonderful. It takes place in Venice. It's like, it's Casanova. It's the classic story.
He's a Casanova.
He is the Casanova.
He is the Casanova.
And it's very cute. I also did a double bill with watching Cyrano de Bergerac, the new one.
Okay, yeah.
Which was also great. And I watched them back to back, and I felt very old-timey. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I would recommend both of those if you want to just watch a good time movie. They're kind of bummers, but, like, in... At least Cyrano is a bummer, but in a good way.
I feel like Cyrano
Cyrano's really a bummer, but I actually really liked it a lot. So
I don't know if Cyrano is a good time movie. You know what is a good time movie that I went to see in the theater? We went to go see Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Which rules. It's so good.
Nice. Everyone is saying that.
Yeah, because it slaps. It's like... Nice. Very, like, the story is really good. It's like a nice just like hour and a half long. It's like an hour 40 and Iconic. It feels short. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, there wasn't a lull in it, and at the end I was like, oh, okay, that's the whole thing, it's over.
That's
like
great.
In a great way. And it's just like, that's really good. The animation's really cool. Like, you can definitely feel the influence of, like, Spider-Verse on it, on, like, you can tell the animators actually tried to make it interesting instead of just, like, another, like, 3D animated Shrek
kids movie
spin-off. Yeah. No, it's
That's
really
so
good.
Good.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, our girl Miss Flo is in it, right?
Miss Flo is in it. Yes, absolutely. I didn't know she was in it, and then I recognized her voice, like, immediately, and I was like, my girl
Miss Flo.
Then I was talking to my sister about it. She's like, yeah, I saw her, like, posting about it on Instagram, and I thought she just
That's
was
how
posting
I saw
about
too.
It because she liked it.
Yeah. Unlike some other movies she's been in recently, we won't mention.
No, she's in it.
That's so good.
She's excited about it because it's really good.
Because it's good. I love that. I do want to see it very badly.
He's a good boy.
Yeah. I did see the first 30 minutes of Titanic in 3D in theaters.
Oh, why only the first 30 minutes?
Because my mom wasn't feeling well, and then we left.
Oh, no!
I know, it was so sad.
Harley.
But it was neat. I mean, it was, it's still Titanic. It's not like it's something I hadn't seen. It's but it was cool in 3D.
You're like, okay, this is what... But you didn't even see the, like, good 3D bits in 3D. You saw the first 30 minutes?
I saw the first 30 minutes, which is all the, like, quote-unquote present day stuff.
Okay, well,
which is
at
the,
least
like...
you saw Bill Paxton on the big screen in 3D.
Yeah. That's true.
What we want.
It was good. It was
That's
good
That's what
for
the
everyone.
People want. And by the people, we mean me.
We mean us. Yeah, 100%. We the people.
We the people. Yeah. Here at
we the people, baby.
Bill Paxton. I see Bill Paxton on the big screen.
Who doesn't love him?
I love him.
I love him. I love him. That was true. That was worth it. Mm-hmm. That's what I told him. My mom felt so bad. I was like, mm-hmm. It was fine. We saw the first half an hour.
Got to see Bill.
I figured it out. Yeah. I saw Bill. I had a nice time.
Like, I don't need to see Leo. I just need to see Bill.
That's right. I've seen enough young Leo. It's fine. It's fine. Beginning. That's how you know you're in 2023. When one of these is not like the other. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, one of these ages like milk. That's really sad.
Yikes.
Yikes on bikes. Yeah.
Yikes.
But yeah, so been seeing some good movies recently when I haven't been making some fun theater.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, when you've been not making some good flowers.
We've been busy.
I've been some busy girlies. Know,
here we are. Mm-hmm. We're here for you.
Yeah, and we love you. We're here
for you and
yeah, and we're happy about it. I'm gonna translate. We're happy about it. Yeah, that's how we feel. We have some really exciting things happening, which is another reason why we've been away, just trying to coordinate things and figure life things out, including things for this podcast, which are awesome.
Which is
annoying, and we can't tell you about it yet, but it's coming and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the facts, America. Facts are facts. That's all we got. Yeah, that's what we got for you today.
That is what we got. And Carly.
Yeah, Cecilia.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No. Like, really not even at all. You would think that maybe it could happen, but it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I'm Cecilia.
Yeah.
Have you seen any ghosts lately?
No, I haven't.
Dang. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We tried. That's all we can ask. We try our best.
Oh, we attempted, and that's all we can say for that.
That's right. That's that on that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. And you can follow us on the internet in the meantime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Follow us on the internet and we'll give you a little kiss right now. Love you.
You're welcome. You love it.
Bye.
Bye.
Where's the stop button? There it is.
Ciao! Please do your job. Please do your job.